See, I always dreamed. I said, one of these days I'm going to come out in one of those mega churches, and that's what's going to happen. You know, those guys must really get high on that, right? And it's like God finally told me, no, ain't happening. I think that could go to your head after a while, couldn't it? I know it does. But anyway, you know, I was just listening to all that, and I thought, those guys walk out to that, and it's like, and then it hit me. Then it hit me all of a sudden. Yeah, that's supposed to be to the Lord and not to any man. But anyway, that's just me thinking. Talk about courage today. And I'm going to Joshua 1:9. And all through the scripture, Jesus talks about, you know, having faith, be bold, be courageous, do all this. And I mean, over in Joshua, I just like this particular passage. It's just short. You don't have a lot of scripture to have to be looking at today. But I'm using the NIV. And it just reads like this. Have I not commanded you? This is God speaking to him. And he's speaking to the people. He said, and before that, be strong, very courageous. And then he says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You say, well, that was to Joshua. And that's his command. That's for Moses, Joshua, and all these people. It's not for us. It's really? I thought the whole thing, the Great Commission, was we're to go into all the world, and you can't do that except with a great courage, great boldness. Because the world doesn't want to hear a thing we have to say. And Jesus knew it then, and he knows it now. And so when he goes, we talk about the Great Commission, which is not preached very often, not taught very often at all. How many of these guys on TV do you hear really talking about the Great Commission? They talk about the great receiving. All the great things we're going to get from God, but there's another thing attached to it and more important and precedes everything, and that's Jesus' last words. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we're to baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and do what? Teach them everything he taught us. That's what we're to be about. That must be at the core of every Christian soul. What motivates us in the bottom line is how can I boldly get this message across wherever I'm at? And we've seen a lot of strange things with that. And I've mentioned it before, and I'm in the early days, and I just could never, even when I was in seminary in Fort Worth there, I just couldn't deal. They had these little tracks. I've talked about this before. Does anybody remember those in your churches? You had these little gospel tracks, and you're supposed to hand these to everybody, leave them at the table wherever you eat, and you're supposed to go out and start handing this stuff up and down the sidewalk, and all. I could never do it. I just couldn't do it. And it's like, why can't you do that? And I didn't know. I thought, man, you just don't have the courage to do it. And I was over in San Antonio and pastoring there, and we, you know, all that stuff. And then I'd be hit with that. Why don't you ever go out? Why don't we see you down there passing out tracts? And it's because most of those end up in the trash can or thrown on the sidewalk. And we're not going to win them that way. And if you ever did that and believe in them, I'm not trying to offend you. People don't want to read a tract. They want to read you. They want to open you up and be the book they read and see if there's truth in it. And all the time there was something bugging me, but I couldn't get that. It takes a lot of years sometimes and going through a lot in life to realize that the book that you really need to present to people is not a little piece of paper. It's the book of you. And through that, the Word of God comes to you. But if you're not real, nothing you have to say or do will ever be real. And it's like, you don't need to pass that paper out. You need to pass yourself out. You know, and let Jesus Christ be real in your life. This is just not some, you know, put together message. It's having the courage to really serve and honor God, to really put him out there. And, you know, when we talk about courage, you know, let me just hit this right off the start. Courage. We think courage is the absence of fear. Where did that ever come from? It's, you know, courage is having fear and not letting it stop you. I've never, many things I did in the military, there's some of them listening now. I have some friends up in the upper part of the state that hopefully will be coming to visit us soon. Yes, and a couple of great sergeants, and so Mike, Vicky, Ronnie, all of you, they were sergeants that I worked with years, jumped out of airplanes with, and we've been in contact. They found me, and they want to come see us and see me, and I want you to meet them. These are fantastic people, and it's an honor after all these years that they want to be here. And it really just took me. I just like, wow, I'm touched by that. You know, it's like, you know, it's not, you know, at least it wasn't one of those guys they hated. and I was their lieutenant at the time, and we just worked together well. And so anyway, I'm honored that they want to be here. So they've been listening to the messages. So I appreciate y'all a lot, and I want them to know that. I appreciate all of you. I surely do. And any one of them could tell you that when we stood in the door of those airplanes, was there ever a time that we were fearless? You're joking, right? You overcome it. Some of you, I always use references like that, but not everybody here didn't jump out of the airplane. But we have fear of public speaking. You have fear of just being in a crowd. Anybody just get fearful being in a crowd? Anybody have that problem? We got a lot of talkers here, so I didn't think we'd have too many. Maybe it's the other way. Anybody fear not being with a crowd? If you fear the dark? Does anybody have a fear of the dark? You know, you do? You used to? You know, you have a fear of something getting in your house? A lot of people have a fear of somebody or something coming in the house. I've had this strange, I wouldn't call it a big fear, but, out where I'm at, there's lots of snakes. Lots of them. And sometimes I'll run out on the porch and be doing what I'm doing and realize I didn't close the door. And I have this little nagging thing of, oh, close that door. And I'm always thinking, what if something crawls in there while you're not paying attention? And it's like, have you ever found snakes on the door? Found them right at the doorstep. So, yeah. And so I thought, well, you know, and your mind will get away from you and you start thinking, well, what would I do if I wake up and I hear that slithering across the floor in my bedroom? You know, just imagine. And you can check this out. It reminded me of that. There's a house up near Abilene. Anybody check this place out? And you can check it out. It's on the internet. These folks built a home. They dug into the side of one of those hills up there. They did not know that they dug into a den. So many rattlesnakes got into the walls in the house. They could hear them crawling in there at night. In those walls. It doesn't just make your skin crawl. You say, Tony, this is not what we came here for. They had to move out of there. Nobody lived in that house. Look it up. You can. And not long ago, I had some folks look it up and say, it's in there. It's really there. I thought, what, you thought I was lying? There is. And they crawled. I don't know how. You people that build things. That they got in between the walls, and so you could hear the little rattles and stuff at night and all that. And I think they found one in the cabinet, the cupboard. You know, these are rattlesnakes, and it's like I've had enough problem with them out there and the thought of that. So there's a slight fearfulness, but does it keep me from going outside? If you have a fear of the dark, and I want to tell you something we don't like admitting these things, but In certain environments, everybody will have a fear of the dark. I can promise you that I've been in places where I definitely had a fear not only of the dark, but what was in the dark. Because we knew that if we were creeping around, somebody else was creeping around. And if you're walking around on two legs, there's things walking on four legs, and there's things crawling with no legs. And you have to watch all that. And so know this, when we talk about courage, and he says, be strong and courageous, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. They were going in to conquer a new land, Do you think that when you see the enemy out there and they're all armored up and they have their chariots, whatever they have, and they've got their spears and they've got all their stuff, do you think there's not some fear? And he says, don't be afraid, but there is apprehension, there's fear. And everybody in this room, if we think about it, fears the unknown. We fear what we don't understand. Men have a real struggle with that. We have a real fear of what we can't get our hands on, what we don't understand. That's why when your kid is sick, you know, and a guy gets, and ladies, when a guy seems like he's just upset, and you're saying, why are you mad at him? I'm not mad at them. I'm mad because they're sick. Anybody felt that way? I'm mad because I can't fix it. That's what we want to do, is fix it. And it's like, and I've gotten upset that way. You know, I've done it with trying to help some of you and others I work with, and I want to help them, and I can't help them. And they think, you're getting frustrated with me. I'm not getting frustrated with you. I'm getting frustrated because I can't fix your stupid problem that you caused in the first place. Anyway, courage is not the absence of fear. It's being able to step beyond it. Courage is doing what you have to do. If you want to call it, it's doing my duty, it's doing your duty. And as a Christian, you're going to be afraid. There'll be times you fear just showing your Christianity in the grocery store or wherever it is, out eating somewhere. It's doing what you have to do. And you say, do I have to do this? God will not make you be a Christian. And he will not make you go out and witness to people or be a witness the way you live. But that's what we're called to do. And so courage is doing what you have to do. You know, you can lie there and there's things flying up at you or whatever's happening and it's coming right at you. And you can lie there shaking all over, and you will. Or you can do what you have to do to stop it. And I'm going to ask you something here. I just want to know, you don't have to tell me, but just you get honest with God. I'm going to ask you this question. What bullets are flying at you? What is it that's got you ducking in life? What is the devil using to keep your head below the level of the trench and to keep you from coming out and becoming what God put you here to be? What are you ducking? What has the enemy got on you? What has he gotten over on you that he causes you? You're just afraid to come out. You're afraid you'll get hit. Let me tell you something. In being a Christian and just living or attempting to live the life God called us to live, you're going to get hit once in a while. You can't do what I do without being hit. You just can't. Do I like it? No. I've gotten, emails, and I've gotten texts, and I've gotten phone calls, and what else? Letters. Yeah, thank you, letters. And you say, oh, they weren't positive. Are you kidding me? They were horrible. You will get hit. But you can't let the fear of that stop you. I even have some apprehension when I go to the mailbox. I really do. For one thing, I have to drive all the way into London to get my mail. And I just dread that 3.5 mile drive. And sometimes there'd be somebody in the post office and I have to sit there and wait for them to come out. Just waiting in line for that kind of stuff. And if you think I'm kidding, I'm not. You get they'll be out far enough like I do, and if there's one person, you only have one person in the post office usually at one time. And you have to sit there and wait on them, and that just gets... I just don't know how y'all live this way down here. Not going to Junction, I kid about it, but really, and I've heard others say it, if there's three cars in front of the light, and it's waiting at the light ahead of you, this place is just getting too overgrown. There's just too many people coming in here. And I come down here, and I'm a nervous wreck. I can't hardly stand it. I've been away from it. So I lived in San Antonio 10 years and drove like a maniac. Then I get out there and I putt along. And that's what's wrong here. If you ride with me down here, you'd say, oh God, let me drive, Tony. You can't putt in this area. You got to move it. But back to this. What are you ducking? What are you afraid of? What has gotten put a fear into your heart that keeps you from being who God really put you here to be? Courage is doing what you have to do in spite of what you feel. And what you have to do is honor God by putting Jesus Christ first in your life. That's it. Don't deny Him. And don't let what's going on around us cause you to deny Him. We're being hit hard. I even read an article here just recently. Some guy's promoting, saying, you know, he wants us to every church should pay taxes. We're going to pay taxes on money that's already been taxed when we're not making a profit from that money. We're not running a business here. What we bring in is being paid to run this church. And so you want to tax, already taxed money that's given in tithes, and tax the taxed money. Yeah, that's great. That sounds like a real brilliant move. But nonetheless, there's some that promote that. And so it's, you know, double tax and everything. And so that would put many a church out of business. You had to pay taxes on what we bring in. We don't bring in all that much. And you say, so what are you saying? You got to have the courage to call your congressman, and you know, and they you don't have to send letters anymore. You email them, and I guarantee you, they have staff. They don't read most of the stuff, but they have staff that do. And they tabulate it. They keep it. I know. I met with them. I guarantee you, they pay attention when you text them. So you do that. You send them an email, and that's what I'm trying to say. Send an email. They'll pay attention to you. And this is also, you know, you've got to honor God by putting Jesus Christ first in your life. And the question is, what does that mean to you? What does that mean for you to put Jesus Christ first in your life? Where are the areas that you know you need to bring Jesus Christ forward and put Him first in your life? Sometimes it's with people that you go do stuff with, you go shop with. And their conduct and what the things they think and the way they carry on, just bringing up Jesus, you know, would sour the whole deal. Well, aren't they souring your deal with the things they talk about? Yeah, I've been out there in all these camps and stuff and all the outdoor stuff, and conversation around a little campfire can get pretty. And it's like, and inevitably in what I do, somebody will, you know, you there'll always be a stranger to a lot of these places, these hunting camps, all that kind of stuff. And somebody will inevitably ask, Tony, what do? I used to try to duck it. I'll work with people, listen to their problems and stuff, you know. I really did. I did that. And then God convicted me on it, said, you're being a coward. Tell them. And so I tell them, I pastor a church. If you want something to kill a conversation at a campfire, just say that. Yeah, I mean, it just, everybody wants to go to bed. Yeah, it's time to turn in. And I've gotten to where, you know, hold that till you're really sleepy and you don't want to sit here anymore, and then blurt it out. And then we can all go to bed. Jesus came to do what He had to do. Do you think Jesus was ever afraid? You ever ask yourself that? In the Garden of Gethsemane, He knelt down and prayed till it said that He prayed until blood was like, drops of sweat was as blood coming out of Him. And what did He ask God? If it's possible, can You take this from Me? You ever thought about it? What part of that was praying? The God part wasn't afraid, but the human part was. Your spiritual nature in you is not afraid, but your human nature is. And Jesus was fully God, but He was fully man. And that man part of Him had to be submitted and overcome the anxiousness, the anxiety. If somebody wants, you know, there's theologians who would argue this out there who don't want to admit that He could ever fail. It says Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, yet He did not sin. So if He was, He was tempted to fall back from that because He prayed for God to let that pass from Him. Would you? Remember, Jesus came from heaven. He had watched the Romans, and even growing up here on earth, but He already knew what the Romans did to people on the cross. He knew how they suffered on the cross. He was intimately aware with that, and He knew what was going to happen to Him. And He had to get down there and get it prayed out and sweat it out. And sometimes, friends, you've got to face your fears and you've got to have the courage to get with it with God and pray it out and sweat it out. And get over this thing. You've got to do what you put here to do. And he came here to die on the cross and in the process rise again and teach us how to live. Now I made a note here, and it's an important note, and it's like note. I put notes and inject this. It takes more courage to live than to die. You can ask God to take you out, but it's asking God to leave you here so that he can use you to his glory. That takes courage. I mean, what courage is it in dying? Facing it, maybe. It takes courage to live and not merely exist, but living with the joy of living. It takes courage. God's courage. Listen to me. It takes God's courage in your heart to seek out the truth and then act on that truth. Listen to me. It takes God's courage in your heart to stop living on your own opinions and face your opinions as just opinion and start accepting and living on God's truth. Not what we think, but what God says. And too many people, too many Christian people, live their entire lives based on what they think or what they want God to say or do in his word. Think about it. It's not that we mean to do it all the time, but we'll sit and argue things with one another. Think of how many conversations you've been in, and most of it was your opinion over Scripture. It takes courage to finally say, I am sick and tired of pushing my ego and my pride through my opinions. I want from now on to start speaking only God's truth and not what I think about everything. All of us like our opinions. We all believe that what we think is smarter and better than everybody else. That's human nature. Until we compare what we think to what God says. And then we realize that what we think is not very much and not very important in the span of things. And it just takes courage to move away from my opinions and, by the way, my perceptions, how I perceive things. It's hard to move from perception. Listen to me. Many a lawyer will say to you, and have said, it's not truth that counts anymore and never has in the courtroom, it's perception. It's what we can get the jury to perceive, not what they believe. And we in churches, as Christians, need to be very careful that we don't get caught up in perception, how people perceive us. Do we look spiritual? How many churches have you been to where the music had to be a certain way and this had to be, and you had to look a certain way? Well, if you have to look spiritual, I fail. I don't wear anything that looks spiritual. I look in my closet and nothing starts shining in there that's holy. Nothing. I've looked all through my closet and not one piece, not one shirt, nothing. It just shines in the dark. But there are places, if you don't dress a certain way and if you don't speak a certain way, then you're not spiritual. Is that true? And, you know, I've been in the places, had to wear the full suit, tie had to be a certain color, all that stuff, we've talked about that. To look holy, I never did glow. I've always wanted to glow. Have you ever wanted to glow? Just once, have a holy glow about you? Nah, I don't guess Tony ever will. Too honorary. I picked on my sister too much. Did you know, here a few days ago, I want her to hear this, because she asked me, she said, have you ever told those people how mean you were to me as a kid? Oh, we were talking about messages, and she said, you don't ever tell, you tell stories about the good stuff. Do you ever tell them how mean you were to me? Okay, so I'm going to tell them right now, right today. Just get over it. She said, I want you to tell them, and they'll send you. She did. She said, they'll send you to counseling if you say this. She said, you tell them when you got mad at me and took all my little dolls and lined them up on a board and chopped their heads off. And I said, how could you remember that? She said, how would you like to be a little girl and have all these dolls with no heads on them? And I did that. She made me so mad, and I thought, I'll get her, and I'll just line them up, chop, 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 and left them there. Little doll bodies all down by the boards. Total mass execution. So now I've said it. So that's why I'll never glow. Because I'm just that way. And it's like, that. Are you that way today? Well, I think about it, but I can't do it. Listen, we need to move on. Courage. If you say, what is the definition of courage? It's the absolute belief that God's word is the final authority. And that God's word is absolutely true. And it has no error. That's the courage to honor and serve God. It's not the absence of fear. It's doing what you got to do in spite of it. You're going to have to honor God, friends. You're going to have courage. You're going to have it now, and you're going to need it in the future. There are things happening out here that's going to challenge us, and you're going to be threatened. And I'm expecting it coming this way with what I do. And I'm going to have the courage to get up here and come and haul me off. Okay? It's easier to say that than it is to do it. And I've got to be preparing myself. And by the way, this is something I want to say to you right now. Courage is not something that you just grab at the moment. It's something you're preparing yourself for. The old military adage, and it's true. You fight like you train. Train, 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 and you fight like you train. You do it automatically. Christians, train, study, practice the Word of God, and be ready for when the day comes, because we're in battle and we're in spiritual warfare, and you better be ready. And you can't wait till it's upon you. You have to be trained for it, and you do what you need to do without having to stop and think about it. Now, some military folks here, you know that's true. And if you're trained up and everybody's on a fine edge, When it happens, because the balloon goes up, you know, everybody does what they need to do without having to think. They just get it done. You get the job done. As Christians, we get caught in these situations. Somebody's attacking us. They're ridiculing us. They're putting us down. We're going, think it through. What am I going to do in those cases? How am I going to train for it? Be prepared for it. Be ready to take some hits. That's what Christianity is all about. So what if somebody doesn't like you? So what if somebody tells you they don't appreciate your stand on Christianity? So what if somebody comes up to you and says, well, I just don't think a loving God could whatever it is that those people say. So what? You hear what they're saying? I don't think. I don't think. I don't feel. Our stand is, I understand and appreciate that, but I believe. What do I believe? What God says in His Word, whether you think anything different or not, God's Word is the truth. Thank you. And just because you want to say something is not true doesn't make it less true. How can a loving God allow all this? You know, is that a question you ask? It's a good question, by the way. It's not in the notes, but I'm going to speak to it anyway. How could a loving God allow this mess? I'll tell you what a loving God did. You say, you really think you have an answer to this? Got part of it. You go back in the book of Genesis, and what did He say? He put Adam and Eve here, and what did He say for them to do? Go out here and subdue the earth. I've made this place for you, and I've given you responsibility for it, and the problems we're having is not God's fault, it's people's fault. He gave us dominion, and that means I made this world, get after it. And do it to honor me. And what have we done? And I'm not trying to belittle anybody, but listen, where's the church been the last 20, 30, 40 years? Look at all the stuff that goes on in Christian, the need to start walking instead of talking. We have dominion. And what have we done? You say, from God's perspective, gave you dominion. This is your place to live. You can let me take care of it through you, or you can reject me and the devil will take care of it through you. And that, look what's happening. It's our world that he created for us. God made this for us. And he wants us to take care of it. And I just ask this question, what's your part? What's your responsibility in this? What's mine? It's our responsibility. God didn't tell somebody to take drugs and crash into somebody on the highway. He didn't tell somebody to be texting and have a wreck. We blame him for everything. He didn't tell you to do that. He didn't tell that person. Well, why didn't God stop it? Why don't you? Why don't you appear up there in your state senate? Why don't you get up there and write, or get up there and speak? And let them see what a real spirit-filled Christian has to say. To make a difference. Well, let's have the courage to love. Let's move on. We're going to close this up. Believe me, I don't like keeping you here all day and you want to go, it's spring break. I know you're going to Galveston or Corpus Christi right after this and join the millions of others down there. The craziness is beyond comprehension. And tell your children, grandchildren, this warning, it's all everywhere. Don't go to our neighbor south of us. If you do, this was brought up to me, by the way, not here, but this week. You know, what are we going to do about all this? What are we going to do about all these kids? We're going to have to go down and do something with those people. And it's like, excuse me, we put out these warnings, and if these kids choose to go, it's like, I know this sounds heartless, but if you warn me that there is a den of rattlesnakes across this fence, and I walk over there and say, I don't believe it. Tony, hope you make it to the hospital. But I'm not going to start a war because you're stupid. Listen to me. Don't start a war with anybody because of somebody else's stupidity. They won't like that one. But it's true, isn't it? And if I was a parent paying for some kid's college education and they said, I'm going over there, it'd be, if you do, you won't have money when you come back. You know that you could get hurt. And so, hey, is that God's fault? No, it's not. No, it isn't. So maybe we just need to speak a word for the Lord once in a while. He gets blamed for all this stuff, and we're supposed to be the ones taking dominion. Anyway, let's have the courage to love. There was a woman, she'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. I won't read all this, paraphrase it. Luke 8. No one could heal her, and she came, just touched Jesus' cloak. She said, if I can just touch him, I'll be healed. And he said, who touched me? And everybody denied it, and Peter and all of them saying, you know, whole crowds pressing around. How do we know who did it? But Jesus said, someone touched me. And then the woman, she says, she couldn't go unnoticed. She came trembling and fell at his feet and told him why she did it. Then he said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. You say, why does that fit in here if loving your neighbor? He was a rabbi. Does that make any difference here? It would then. He was a rabbi. He was a teacher. She was bleeding. If she touched him, she made him unclean according to the law. She also broke the law by even being there. She was supposed to be outside the gate. So everything was violated according to religious law that can be violated. So she made him unclean by the law when she touched him. He had every right to have her sent out and then run everybody, and now I got to go purify myself. You think about it. According to the law, everything was done there against it. You check up on this. She wasn't supposed to be near him or any of the people. The law said she had to go outside the gate, right? Until it was all over and all that. But she was bleeding all the time. She was desperate. I wonder how many of you are just bleeding all the time, emotionally, physically, spiritually. What are you willing to do to touch the cloak of Jesus Christ and let him heal you? It's So she broke every law there was, and she went up every religious law. She touched him, and he feels the power go out, and he turns around. What, you say, why didn't she just tell him? She knew what she'd done. She wanted to be healed more than she cared about the law, but she knew also she'd violated everything. And he turned around, and this was where we see we have to have the courage to love. Can you imagine everybody's kind of stepping back? You say, how do you know that? What else would they do? Wow. Who touched me? Who touched me? I did. I've been bleeding all these years. And everybody's going, she's unclean. She just made him unclean. And there's that pause, that pregnant pause, you know, that moment of what's next? What's going to happen here? Woman, your faith has healed you. I don't care what the law says. I care what love does. How about you? It says, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. It takes courage to love people. You know why? Because they don't always return it, do they? People sin, they fail, they gossip. Anybody here ever gossip? Don't raise your hand. Anybody ever known somebody gossiped? Have you ever known a gossip and you wanted to be with that person just so you could hear the gossip? It's just our human nature. It's just the way it is. People sin, they do, they fail, they gossip, they argue. Anybody here arguing away to church? Will anybody be arguing going home from church? You're going to argue over what was preached today? Sure we do. We complain. Any complainers here? Okay, thank you. That hand was quick to go up right there. Okay, thank you, ma'am. You'll be special on our complaint list, or our prayer complaint list. Anybody else? Anybody else complain? Does anybody? Okay, you. Well, thanks. Oh, my goodness. We got several complainers. Anybody else complain in the back, you know? Oh, there's one over here. Thank you. You complain? Are you a complainer? Okay, she is? Okay, our friends are saying she is. Okay. From time to time, we all complain. I can know that, you know me, everybody looking up here, you know that I won't complain, don't you? You know I don't have a temper and I never get angry. And you know, it's just like he's the most perfect role model we've ever had. Is lightning coming yet? I complain on the way down here. Yeah, I do. I didn't complain today, but I usually do. I'm not kidding. Everybody knows I'm not kidding. If you know me very long, I get so mad at people on the highway. Oh, I got to tell you this real quick, and I'm closing, right? This guy made me so mad going home last Sunday. I'm going down I-10. I'm minding my own business. I'm in the slow lane. Anybody ever have this happen? Here comes this person around me on the left and cuts right in front of my front bumper. You know, right? You're on Interstate 10. We're not in the city. It's like, do you see any more cars out here? Why do you have to do that? And so I'm going along. I'm tired of it. So I move over to the left lane. And they're just holding their speed. And I'm going around and going down and get them back in my right lane where I like to drive. All of a sudden, here comes this person. And they come right around me and cut right back in front. And here we go. We got this thing going. Being the spiritual man that I am, I floored that pickup. I got right on their bumper, and it was like, just hit your brakes. You know, I'm not even thinking at that point, if they do, you're going to be responsible for it. You know, it's like, you know, cut me off. So I cut back around, try to go around, and they cut. And so, what is your problem? Finally, God intervened, because this was getting out of hand. I was out of hand. And the exit to cut into junction came up, and they just went past it, and I just cut off on it. It was like, turn, and I turned on the exit. Get out of this. This is something that's going to end bad. And so I just flared up. I'm up here preaching love and all of this, and go home from church, and I'm ready to rear end this person. Anybody ever had that happen? And just wonder, why are you doing this to me? You know, you're just the lucky soul they picked on. Anyway, God got me out of it. I cut into Junction. Guess what? I went down to the truck stop and I was hoping they pulled in there. I was. And it's like, what are you going to do if they did? I don't know. I'll figure it out. Here's the point. All of us sin. We fall. We gossip. We judge. We argue. Complain. And we chase people down the highway. And yet God still loves us. He still forgives us. He still lets me come back up here and calls me to do this in spite of my stupid ways and sinful things that I do. Just like that. I was mad. And I took it personal. That person didn't know me. They just found somebody, probably because I was driving slower. I drive a little slower in my pickup. And they didn't like it. It wasn't personal. But no, we take it so personal. So I'll say this to you. Quit taking it so personal when people come at you. Many times people come at you not because of you, but because of who you represent. And don't forget that. You represent God. They see Christ in you, your hope of glory. And they say something ugly. Courage just loves because that's what you have to do. Courageous love does what it has to do. It's what it's commanded to do. And I'm closing with this. You have to have the courage to have faith. Just have faith. In all your ways, submit to God, and He will make your paths straight. You won't see that up here, but I've got it in here.
Amen.
Listen, courage comes from the power of God's love that is growing in your heart, and it's there when the need arises. You just trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So have the courage to trust. Listen, have the courage to trust God when you don't feel it and when you don't see it. You can't see it happening, you don't feel it happening, but God says it will happen. Trust in God's word, friends, is all we really have. We're here to do what God wants done. So have the courage, asking for it beforehand, before the need arises. God, give me the courage to honor you. Give me the courage to love, even when it's not returned, which it probably won't be. And give me the courage to trust, even when I can't possibly understand what's going on around me, but to trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and God will make your paths straight. God is faithful. He holds you in the palm of His hand, and He'll never let you go. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, so we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you all for being here.